This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views expressed here and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of John Williams. Now, Mr. Williams is an economist, and of course, economists try to look and see what's happening to the economy. That's what they do, but most economists are hired by universities. They are hired by government or government agencies, and when you work for the government, you come up with the sort of results and conclusions that the government wants you to. You do not necessarily have to tell the truth, and unfortunately, the old adage that figures don't lie, but liars can sure figure, and I think an awful lot of them are simply altering the way that the figures are brought up, because perception is so much of what goes on today. If we think things are good, we feel good. If we think things are bad, why, we're depressed, and we act accordingly. And Mr. Williams is a privately funded economist, funded by people who subscribe to his publications. And we are in really difficult economic times. We need reliable figures. We need to know what the unemployment rate really is. Is it going up? Is it going down? What's the gross domestic product? I mean, after all, everything is dependent upon the gross domestic product. Tells us, well, how rapidly the economy is expanding or possibly contracting. And what about inflation? Certainly, the GDP, inflation-based GDP is determined by the rate of inflation. But certainly, Ben Bernanke correct when he tells us we have a 2.1 or 2 point, I guess about 1 point of inflation, and we really need to get up to 2. You know, that's where we should be. And so I've asked Mr. Williams to be with us this evening. Thank you so very much for coming aboard.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Stan.
Well, why don't you pick up this story and tell us what's really going on with unemployment, what's going on with the GDP, what's happening with inflation, and at least as far as you can tell, I know you're not a seer, but where are we headed? Because I think our listeners need to know so they can make their plans accordingly.
Okay. Well, I've been a consulting economist for 30 years, and over that period of time, I found that what the average person seemed to be experiencing, what the average person thought was happening with inflation, with unemployment, with GDP, increasingly was varying from what the government was reporting. And I had to look very closely at the quality of the government statistics if I had any hopes of being able to put forth meaningful forecasts for my clients. And what I found over an extended period of time is that the through methodological changes, the key series have been altered in such a way that it's put in upside biases into the to the economic reporting, downside biases into inflation and to the unemployment rate. Excuse me.
But if you really don't know what's happening economically, in other words, large corporations depend upon this information so they can tell whether they want to expand, whether they want to invest, whether they want to sit on the sidelines, you've got to have reliable information. And certainly the average individual in my listening audience has to have reliable information, or they can certainly get caught in a trap.
That's very true. And well, let me start with inflation, because that's very important to most people in terms of wages and investments. The idea behind the CPI, which is the popularly followed inflation measure.
Now, that's the consumer price index. You hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment. You go right ahead here.
I'm sorry?
You go right ahead.
We're continuing.
We're continuing right on.
Oh, okay, fine. I'm sorry, I had a tickle in my throat there.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verki water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verki water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
How they would compare from year to year. Well, of course, in the 80s, Alan Greenspan began to change this. And basically, he did this so that we could take away from the Social Security recipients without them understanding. Basically, Social Security was tied to the rate of inflation. Well, if they said, well, after all, when the price of steak goes up, people are going to eat hamburgers. So basically, you see, the cost of living hasn't gone up at all because they're eating hamburger, which is cheaper than steak. And all this was simply a means of deception so they could cut back on the inflation rate and say, see, we don't have to pay Social Security recipients more money. Because none of the politicians wanted to say, look, we can't afford this. It's costing too much money. Nobody wants to cut to actually vote against Social Security or Social Security recipients. So they began to lie about the figures. I mean, they can say, well, we just adjusted this. No, ladies and gentlemen, they began to lie to the American people about inflation simply by changing the definition of the CPI and then changing the definition of inflation so that they could say, well, see, there really is no inflation. And yet Mr. Bernanke insists on this. And yet you look and see what's happened to the price of fuel and of food and of so many other items that we use on a daily basis. And they're going up, and they're going up dramatically. But Mr. Bernanke can say, there's no inflation. I mean, after all, according to our experts. Go right ahead, John.
Well, it's indeed according to their experts. the changes that they made to the CPI made it something like a substitution-based price index instead of a fixed-weight index. They made all sorts of changes, all sorts of gimmicks that they could get away with and still keep the number from getting revised. And once they publish the consumer price index, unless they've actually had an error in reporting, that number gets revised because it's used in so many contracts. But because of the changes that were made, had those changes not been put in place, Social Security checks today would be about double what they are. I mean, the changes that were made here did have major impact. What I do is I try to estimate what inflation would be had these changes not been made. I can't go back and recalculate all the elements of the consumer price index based on old methodologies. What I do is I take the estimates that the Bureau of Labor Statistics, this is the reporting agency on the consumer price index, what the Bureau of Labor Statistics estimates that the different changes have done in terms of reducing annual inflation. Well, it's knocked in percentage points off the annual inflation. And if you wanted to get back to something like a CPI that measured a constant standard of living based on the way things were reported in 1980, you'd have to add back roughly 7 percentage points. Since 1990, you'd have to add in a little over 3 percentage points, somewhere between that. 3 to 7%, I think, is where most people would think that, there's an understatement on the CPI. Excuse me. And the effect there is, it's devastating in terms of people not staying ahead of inflation, falling behind, not being able to keep up with the way they used to live. But the problems go beyond the consumer price index. Well, let me stick with the consumer price index for a minute. When Mr. Bernanke talks about inflation, the number that he likes to look at and what he targets is called the deflator. It's an inflation measure for the personal consumption expenditure and the GDP, what consumers spend in the gross domestic product, which is the broadest measure that they publish of economic activity. And then he takes out food and energy inflation, calls it core inflation, which is absolute nonsense. But he can come up with a tenth of a percent inflation rate using that approach. They claim that food and energy prices are volatile. Yes, they are volatile, but everybody is very much subject to them, including Mr. Bernanke. He drives around in a car that consumes gasoline, and I'm sure he eats every day. To think that you can look at inflation without considering the cost of food and energy is absolute nonsense.
But isn't this really an effort just to deceive the American people and to give them the idea, if you're going to question us, what are you, some sort of a conspiracy nut? After all, we wouldn't lie to you, and these are the figures. Figures don't lie, but liars can sure figure.
Yeah, they sure do. And unfortunately, in terms of Treasury secretaries, finance ministers, central bankers, and Federal Reserve Chairman in the category of central bankers, the nature of their job is that they have to lie. They tell people the truth when they have difficult times, which is a circumstance now. They tend to make things a lot worse. They rattle the markets, which is why generally they don't talk much. That surprised me that Mr. Bernanke had a press conference a week or two ago. And we can get to some of the elements in that, but the inflation problem that we have now is a direct result of Fed policy. Mr. Bernanke put into place what he calls quantitative easing 2 back in November. And what the Federal Reserve has been doing is it's been buying treasuries, either from the Treasury directly, but most commonly they buy it from banks that have bought the treasuries from the Treasury. And the effect there is that the Federal Reserve effectively has purchased enough treasuries since December to more than offset all the net borrowings of the U.S. Treasury in terms of debt from the public. They don't have to worry. They have not had to worry in the current circumstance about having a bad auction or someone not wanting the bonds because the Fed was buying them. The Fed is monetizing the debt. The Fed has been trying to debase the dollar to create inflation. Now, tomorrow we're going to get a new inflation number, the most recent inflation number. There are a couple of there are two key measures that they put out, and these are numbers that are not adjusted for core inflation. They reflect food and energy prices. But you have the CPIU, which is, they call it for all urban consumers. That's the broadest measure that they put out. They also have a CPIW, which is for wage earners. That's one they use for adjusting Social Security payments. Last month, the CPIW broke above 3% for the first time in a couple of years. CPIU was at 2.6%. I think that's going to go over 3% tomorrow. So as we're seeing the reported inflation, we're now basically above 3%. That's above Bernanke's express target, but his target doesn't include food and energy. So if you take out the food and energy, everything's still fine. But the average guy that's got to fill his gas tank is certainly feeling the pain of the higher inflation.
What is the real inflation rate? Not what Mr. Bernanke says.
It's pushing about 10% if you want to maintain a constant standard of living.
Right.
And what's happened here? The average person sees this. They can't get a normal return in the marketplace because of the low interest rate, so they're beginning to look to spend the money to buy goods and services that are going up in price, and that tends to increase the velocity of the money, and that tends to put more upside pressure on the inflation. We're seeing an inflation here, but when Bernanke announced his quantitative easing too, that weakened the U.S. dollar in the financial markets and in the global currency markets. The weak dollar, in turn, spiked oil prices. They're denominated in dollars. And the oil prices, have spiked gasoline prices, which has been a major factor in the inflation here, but it's also the same factors have spiked food prices. And anything that's denominated in U.S. dollars in the global markets. So that the inflation we're seeing is a direct result of the Fed policy.
Yeah, but isn't this also influencing the situation, the stability of nations throughout the world, where prices of food are going up, people are not making higher salaries, and we've heard certainly that many of the demonstrations, many of the revolutions we've seen in the Near East have been directly related to at least directly or indirectly related to rising food costs, where people demanding give us sugar, give us salt, you know.
Yep. That's true. That is unfortunately the case, but it's not a happy circumstance here. There's a very common misperception, and it's often put forth by the Fed. Certainly, it's put forth on Wall Street because Wall Street always has to have a happy story to help them sell stocks and bonds. The happy story, if you want to call it such, is that inflation means the economy is strong. Now, you can have a strong economy that drives inflation higher. Excessive demand, too little supply. That's a reasonably happy circumstance if you can have such a thing with inflation because people are employed. You can also have inflation driven by commodity prices and by monetary policy, which we're seeing here. And that's not a happy circumstance because the economy's not growing. People's incomes are not growing. And as their costs rise, they have to cut back on what they're spending.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with John Williams, economist from ShadowStats.com. Go right ahead.
So we have a circumstance now where inflation is running well above expectation, at least what the markets have been expecting. it's running well above.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Looking for work for a year and you can't find anything and you just give up looking for work because there's no jobs available, they don't count you as unemployed even though you are unemployed. In other words, they juggle these figures around, and Chris, the real unemployment is not a so-called U3, it's U6. That is the number of people who are unemployed or getting unemployment benefits and are looking for work, or simply have to take a number of other jobs, underpaying jobs, or simply have given up entirely looking for it. And what are we talking about there?
Well, they don't measure underemployment in terms of, let's say, a fellow that used to be a business executive making, let's say, $100,000 a year, and now he's flipping cheeseburgers at McDonald's. there, I mean, you see that happen all the time. The people who are getting jobs, a number are getting jobs that are not paying them the way they used to. But if you, as the government measures it, their broadest measure, which includes the part of the discouraged workers and people who are forced to work part-time because they cannot find a full-time job, they want a full-time job, they count the, this is the government, counts the unemployment at 15.9%. That's their U6 level. I have it up over 22% because I include the long-term discouraged workers, those people who haven't looked for more than a year. And you may hear comments in the press, oh, my goodness, the level of participation in the of the population of labor force is at an all-time low. The labor force that they count, those are just the people who are defined in U3. Once you move into the discouraged category, you drop out of the labor force, and as a result, the labor force keeps shrinking against the population. If you put all the labor force back in there that's still there, but they just can't get jobs, you're up around 22%. And I say that people get, say, oh, my goodness, you know, we had the, I've heard estimates unemployment got to 25% in the Great Depression. We're getting close to that. It's a different environment than we had then, although I think we're eventually heading into something like the Great Depression, but in many ways not different. The government didn't start measuring unemployment until 1940. So what they estimated for the Great Depression was guessed at it from a large number of sources. That 25% number was for the total population. But during the Great Depression, about 27% of the people working lived on farms. Today, that's less than 2%. And if you look at the non-farm unemployment during the Great Depression, the peak there was around 35%. And I think that's more of a comparable number to what I have. What I have is about as bad as we've seen since since the Great Depression. But that's horrible. I mean, you're talking basically a quarter of the working age population that's out of work. And again, that has no reflection there of those that have worked, that were working, that are not making what they need to make.
Well, those are devastating figures, you know, and certainly by juggling these figures around, we heard the other day that the unemployment rate had gone from 8.8 to 9%, but that was, of course, the U3. By their own figures, the U6 is 15%, and your figures is over 22%, so they're juggling the figures to alter our perception. Is that a fair statement?
They have done that. But it's not as though they're just doing the juggling right now. This is juggling that was done over a period of time that involved both parties in Congress, and it was done largely with methodological changes. I mean, it's all very open, but by, for example, not counting the long-term discouraged workers, you could be assured of having a lower unemployment rate by moving away from measuring a constant standard of living, you could be assured of a lower inflation rate. And therein are the big problems that face the country right now. We have a structural problem, a structural economic problem, which is going to prevent a normal economic recovery. We're not having an economic recovery. You see some bouncing from short-term stimulus effect, but nothing's being done to solve the basic economic issues here.
Well, now, what about the gross domestic product? I mean, GDP is what the economists talk about all the time, and we're told, you know, the GDP is expanding, maybe not quite as fast as in China, the other places, but the GDP is growing because, of course, the quantitative easing. They love to use these figures nobody can understand. Hang on there.
The This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
People use the term loosely, and there are no formal definitions the way people think of it. Most people think of a depression in terms of being a very severe recession. Before the Great Depression, every economic downturn was referred to as a depression. If you looked at the plot of the level of activity, you'd be going along, then all of a sudden you'd have a dip, and it would be a depression, a shaped depression. And the downside was called a recession, and the upside was called recovery. Well, after World War II, they were afraid of using the term depression because it would evoke memories of the Great Depression. They wanted to come up with a euphemism for it. And they called it recession, which is the downside of a depression. But some years back, when it was clear that people were beginning to think depression in terms of severe recession, I talked with a number of people in the industry to see if I could come up with a consensus. I came up with an unofficial one. Nobody formally defined this except what I put out. But in terms of what I look at as a depression, it's a recession where your peak to trough contraction in economic activity, and this is economic activity that's adjusted for inflation. Because if you have retail sales booming, that's because you have booming inflation. That's not economic growth. They take the inflation out. So the retail sales we saw today, it was not a 0.5% increase. It probably will turn out to have been flat, if not minus, when we get the inflation number tomorrow. But peak-to-trough contraction greater than 10%. A Great Depression would be a peak-to-trough contraction greater than 25%. Since this started, we have seen peak-to-trough contractions in inflation-adjusted retail sales and industrial production. In new orders for durable goods and housing all exceed 10%. I think this could be called a depression, although the GDP number is not reflecting that, and I'll get to that in a second. Where you've had 75% decline in housing, that's in the Great Depression. It's the worst downturn ever seen in the history of housing. There's a reason that we're not seeing an economic recovery, and that is that this recession is being driven by a major structural problem, and that is that the average household just can't stay ahead of inflation. If you go back to the 1970s, and again, I'm just using government's numbers here, none of my adjustments. The government numbers show this. Average weekly earnings peaked in 1973 before the recession then. And since then, and this is adjusted for inflation, we're down 10-14%, depending upon where you look at it, versus where average weekly earnings were back in 1973. Now, if that's happened, other things have had to happen for this to balance out, and it had tremendous impacts on our society. I mean, you look back in the early 70s, it was much more common with a household that the one person would work. Usually the husband would go out and earn a living, and the wife would stay home with the kids. But as the as income dropped against inflation, it became increasingly necessary for the wife to go out to work or other people. I mean, sometimes you have two or three people in a household working, and they're still not staying ahead of inflation. But so that changed our whole society. And you look at the government's numbers on household income. Not only is the median household income today, again adjusted for inflation, below where it was before the 2001 recession. If you use the consumer price index to deflate it, it's below where it was in 1973. The only way that you can get the economy to grow on a sustained basis, if income is not growing faster than inflation, is through temporary measures such as debt expansion. People borrow more money, they can spend as though they have it, they can maintain their standard of living, at least for a while. Now, Alan Greenspan, and I keep coming back to Mr. Greenspan, I'll give him good credit for creating many of the issues that we're facing today. he could see that this was going to be a major problem growing forward. The economy was not going to grow. He saw the situation in 87. It existed at that time. So what he did was he took steps to encourage debt expansion. And that debt expansion became the fuel for our economic growth. But then in 2007, 2008, we saw a collapse of the debt structure. And with that came went the fuel that had been supporting the economy. The average household no longer can borrow like it used to. Consumer debt outstanding has seen its greatest decline in the post-World War II era. The only bouncing that's been seen in the last couple of months has been due to the government making student loans. But without debt expansion, which in the best of times should be short-term, and without income growth that's faster than inflation, there's no way that the GDP, where 70% of it is driven by the consumer, there's no way that you can have sustained growth in the GDP. Yet the GDP is positive. Why? Well, because it's absolutely the worst number in terms of quality that the government publishes. In fairness to the government, it's very difficult to put together a number like the GDP on a timely basis. Very difficult. I have to make all sorts of assumptions and models. I mean, for example, the income that they reflect in the GDP includes the rent that you, if you want a house, they figure what rent you should be paying yourself, and they count that as income. That's the type of assumptions that they put into this. When the GDP is first estimated, the advance estimate, which is what we had this last time round that showed the economy slowing a little bit, I think it came in at 1.8%. annualized growth. So it's not that it was up 1.8% from the prior quarter, but if you took the growth rate from the prior quarter and raised it to the fourth power, so it was for a full year, you came up with 1.8%. The actual growth was in the 0.6% range. And there's margin of error around that of plus or minus 3%. So most of the time when that gets reported, the number's not meaningful. You can't tell if it's growth or a contraction. But nobody in the press pays any attention to it.
Well, but isn't the GDP really dependent upon honest figures being used for inflation? And if you are suddenly restricting the amount of inflation, it looks like the GDP is far better. If you have high inflation, you would actually have a negative GDP.
That's absolutely the case. And I did not mean to downplay that. I'm just getting into some of the surface issues this you can get without looking at my website. Where the GDP is adjusted for inflation. The higher the rate of inflation you use, the weaker will be the resulting GDP growth. The lower the rate of inflation you use, the stronger the growth. Well, the weakness in the inflation that's used in the GDP in many ways is parallel to what's in the CPI. It's not exact. There's different measures and such. But I don't think we've come out of a year-over-year contraction in the economy since the recession of 2001.
Well, before we go on, I'd like you to get your website out, and people could go there, and maybe they'd want to subscribe to your service, because basically I'm sure there's much more that you put out that's right on your website, although there's a great deal of great information you can get without subscribing. But this is vitally important for anybody who really has to know what is really happening. You've got to know what these figures are for inflation, for unemployment, for GDP, for the CPI, PPI. You have to know the accurate figures, because if you don't have accurate figures, you really can't figure out what's going on. If you believe what the media tells us, why, they're just trying to make us feel good and be happy and not be too concerned as we see this recession or depression drag on and on and on. How can people get to your website?
Well, that's the web address is simply shadowstats.com. shadowstats.com. And on that homepage, you'll see in the right-hand column, there are links to a primer series. It gives you background on a lot of the economic series. You'll see some special reports, which includes a hyperinflation report that pretty much outlines why we are, where we are, and why I think what we're beginning to see now eventually is going to evolve into a hyperinflation, which is a terrible circumstance. And there's also subscription information if anyone's interested in subscribing. But as you say, there's a lot of information available to the public on the site. We do that deliberately.
And I know that a lot of the people that I put my confidence in, Bob Chapman, Bert Dorman, Sydney, always refer to your site, Bob Prechter, others. The people who really will give you accurate information and give me accurate information all go to your website to get their information. So go right ahead.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Thank you. Let me get down to where we are right now, because there are ways that people can look at this and make some sense of it. Aside from the distortions that are put into the system, right now the financial markets are flying blind. A lot of the series, even allowing for the distortions that are part of the reporting, when you see the monthly numbers, the moment they're meaningless. And the reason for that is, in order to come up with a monthly change in something such as industrial production or retail sales, or even payroll employment, you first have to seasonally adjust the series. All the numbers come out as a raw estimate, and then they often put upside biases and things in that. But forget that for a moment. What they do is they try to statistically adjust the series to eliminate regular recurring patterns, such as the hiring that you might see in the holiday season or the shifting of payrolls when you have the school year's out, And those seasonal adjustments remain fairly stable over time. Use that to back out the regular patterns and what's left over. Presumably gives you an indication of whether the economy is improving or getting worse. Modern economic reporting has been limited to the post-World War II era. We've never had a downturn that's been this long or this severe. And because of the depth and the length of this, it is throwing off the calculations of the seasonal adjustment factors. They're not stable. And when they're not stable, you're not getting meaningful month-to-month numbers. I can't tell you that, I could usually say, yep, well, the payroll numbers, because of the biases they had, and they're overstating it by about 230,000 jobs. And that would still be the case, but I can't tell you that they're, what this missing element is. It's sort of a wild card. It'll eventually stabilize, but right now we're flying blind. We're not getting good reporting, and when you're looking at that, you have to look at the basics. What's driving the economy? If retail sales are increasing, then you should be seeing increasing consumer income and increasing consumer debt. It's not there. Don't look for any kind of a sustainable growth in retail sales net of inflation. I've always found that the average guy has a pretty good sense of what's going on. I talk with people around the country. I always ask people how the local business conditions are, what they're seeing in the way of inflation. And their instincts as to the current business environment are extraordinarily good. Trust your instincts. Trust your common experience more than what you get out of the government. at least there, you're dealing with someone you can trust, that being presumably yourself. As we go down the road here, the government is in a panic. What you have to keep in mind here, and people tend to forget this, but with the collapse of Lehman Brothers in September of 2008, our system almost collapsed. Now, we shouldn't have gotten to that position. Had Mr. Greenspan pursued different policies decades ago, we would not have gotten to that position. But we'd gotten to the position. And the Fed would do everything it could to prevent the system from collapsing. So would the federal government. That's when they pushed the big stimulus package. They said, oh, if we don't do this, we're going to end up in a great deflationary Great Depression. They probably would have. That was an honest assessment, because the system, you were about to see you started to see a global run on the U.S. banks. They stabilized that. But they haven't resolved the issues. The solvency crisis continues. The economy by itself has stabilized at a low level of activity, but they've done nothing that has effectively stimulated it. They're not addressing the primary issues of lack of income, lack of available credit. The system still is in crisis. And we could face another circumstance where they say, gee, maybe the system is going to collapse. But again, they'll do everything in their power. They'll create whatever money they have to create, any money they have to spend to prevent the system from failing.
But won't that eventually, of course, you just keep creating money, eventually, why, of course, you destroy the value of money.
Exactly. That's the problem, because the cost here, and we're already seeing it, you're going to see that in a higher inflation number tomorrow. The cost is inflation. And it's... they're pushing it to the extreme. Eventually, the inflation takes over, and you'll end up with a hyperinflation where the dollar becomes worthless. And then it's beyond what they can do to contain it. You effectively end up in a hyperinflationary collapse. And I say that. I hate to say that, because it's a terrible thing.
But of course, this is the reality, and because
it's reality, and
there was no need for it if they'd just been willing to have a recession back in 1987,
yep,
and simply accept the recession, the contraction, take away the punch bowl, let the party die down, and then you can start the party all over again.
Yeah, well, that's the way it had gone on successfully for a number of years. I mean, even though you'd had some pretty big swings in the business cycle. Dr. Stan, I can tell you, I've only been physically assaulted once for my story here. There's a very nice lady at a bank of directors meeting, a board of directors meeting for a bank. She picked up a jelly donut, threw it at me, had great aim. She hit me right in the chest with it. And that poor lady was in tears. She said, all you have here is bad news. Where's the good news? And the bank chairman stepped in and he said, the good news is you know what's going to happen. You can protect yourself.
Right, and that's really so true. And ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble. What do you think of Gersick? It's going to have a quantitative easing 3. We've had quantitative easing 1. Quantitative easing 2. Will they try quantitative easing 3 in an effort to stave off what I think is going to be an eventual collapse of the system? We'll be back in just a moment to get John Williams' opinion. What are your thoughts on a QE3 of some sort?
Inevitable, whether it's overt or covert.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the 4 gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Of destroying the value of our currency and impoverishing the people. But at least the banks will survive, at least for the time being. We're out of time, John. We could go on for a lot further. It's been a fascinating hour. Thank you so very, very much for being with us. I've learned a great deal, and I'm sure our listeners have as well.
Well, again, thank you so much for having me with you.
God bless, and hope we can get you on again sometime in the not-too-distant future.
Sure will.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, that was John Williams, and certainly if you need to really have an opportunity to get the full hour, and of course we talked during the breaks, you will learn a great deal about economics. You've just taken a full a year's course in advanced economics, and you will know more than most people do. Now, we have a couple of excellent books on this subject. One is called Meltdown and the others called Rollback. They're both by Thomas Wood. An excellent analysis of what's going on. You need to get Ed Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. You need to get my little pamphlet on The History of Money, Prophetic Warning, which is basically a five-part analysis of Andrew Jackson's farewell address in 1837, because nothing has changed since then. Everything he said is absolutely true. The banks controlled the media at that time. They controlled the publication houses. They controlled the Congress. They even controlled Andrew Jackson's vice president, but Jackson stood against them. Certainly, if you want to get a copy of the letter we have that President Roosevelt sent to Colonel House in 1933, I found this in Colonel House's papers. When the President of the United States, writing in October of 1933 to Colonel House, has said, as you and I both know, a certain interest in the major financial centers have owned the government since the days of Andrew Jackson. Certain elements in the large financial centers have owned the government. Now, this is written in 1933. Andrew Jackson was the president in 1833. This is what we're up against, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody's going to tell you. So the books you want to get, The Creature from Jekyll Island, the book on the Rollback, the book on Meltdown, and then, of course, my pamphlets on the Prophetic Warning, The History of Money, and The Financial Armageddon. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. But what nobody wants to talk about are the forces behind the banking, behind this whole thing. And that's, of course, why you need to get my book on the Brotherhood of Darkness. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret, and there's a syllabus that goes with that, and on the Dark Secret, a syllabus that goes with that. You need to understand the Trilateral Commission, after all. I mean, it simply goes into who really runs our country. And, we have an excellent DVD on that, Patrick Woods talking. We have Barry Goldwater's book. It was written in 1979, called With No Apologies. It's a secondhand book, but you need to have it to read it, because you need to read what he said from page 280 to the end of the chapter over and over and over and over again, as he talks about how the Trilateral Commission was formed to take control of the financial and commercial interests of the world by first seizing control of the political government of the United States. By first seizing control of the political government of the United States. They have, ladies and gentlemen. The elections are fraudulent. You need to read Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope. So much more. Go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to us on the Internet 9 hours a day, because you can listen on telephone, IP3, and iPod. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Stephen Frank, who writes California Political News. Stephen, thank you so very much for being with us.
Always glad to be with you.
Well, basically, what's happening in California now? Stephen writes primarily about California, although he does have a blog probably once a day that covers what's going on nationwide. But he has several every day about California because, well, before Arnold Schwarzenegger became the governor of California, California was the sixth largest economy in the world. Today, California is the eighth largest economy in the world, but that's larger than, the economy of about 185 other nations. So we're still a major player in what's going on. What is actually happening? It looks to me like more and more of our counties and our municipal governments are on the verge of bankruptcy. What's really happening?
Well, actually, they are in such trouble that the unions are afraid that if more cities go bankrupt, then union contracts will be thrown out the window. So the unions, along with the Democrats, are working hard to pass a bill that says that a community cannot go bankrupt without permission of the state. In other words, stopping them from facing the reality that they don't have any money to pay the bill, and in that way trying to keep the union contracts in order. That's how bad the thing is. Second, CEO Magazine does a study of CEOs across the country as to the best to the worst state to do business in. And I am proud to tell you that for the seventh straight year, California is the worst state in the union. And you will note those are the years that Schwarzenegger was governor, as I prefer to call him, the acting governor.
Well, but of course, is this all his fault, or is it certainly the legislature, a Democrat legislature, has passed all sorts of legislation which is actively anti-business? But why would they want to drive businesses out of this state and destroy our economy? Because this is going to have a profound impact on impoverishing our people. And certainly, even hurting government employees, because more and more government employees are going to lose their jobs.
But we do have to blame Schwarzenegger on two grounds. First of all, he's the one who, as governor, proposed the original tax increases on sales tax, income tax, and doubling the vehicle tax. He didn't have to do that. Second, even though we do have a Democrat legislature, he could have vetoed the bills, and the vetoes would have held because the Republicans would have had the ability to uphold the veto. So yes, Arnold Schwarzenegger is responsible. But you do ask a really good question about the Democrats. Why would they want to destroy jobs? And they believe that they are not destroying jobs by raising taxes, that they are indeed creating jobs by doing that and saving jobs. Well, they're creating, and they are right, they would be creating government jobs, and they would be saving government jobs at the expense of private sector jobs. But they believe that government is too important to be run by amateurs or to allow businesses to have a say.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, Stephen, the problem is, though, that the government cannot afford a lot of this. They're going to have massive infusion of funds to even maintain the workforce that they have now, much less expand it.
Well, interestingly enough, you're right about that. But there is a discussion among Democrats. I don't know whether you know it, but there are some states that are already talking about creating their own monetary system and getting away from the dollar. And now even the Democrats here in California are talking about that, so they could print their own money and inflate the California economy into prosperity. Of course, that never works. It hurts everybody, and I don't know how it happened. But that's one of the things they're talking about. In reality, they truly believe that government has more expertise in telling you how to live your life than you doing it on your own. And if it costs money to do that, so be it. If it means creating more government employees, so be it. The governor announced the other day that he wants to save money by merging two different government agencies. Well, that's a great idea. The problem is he also announced at the same time no one would lose their job. They'd be moved to other government jobs. Well, you're not going to save any money that way. You lose money. And so he has no intention to cutting government employees. In fact, the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, a liberal Democrat, in his budget that he pushed through a legislature, was allowed him to terminate 11,500 employees. California has, Jerry Brown's budget, has zero employees to be terminated. So Jerry Brown still is rather supportive of his union owners rather than being responsive to the needs of the families and businesses of California. He loves government. He does not love free people.
Well, but certainly through attrition, in other words, basically just people quitting their jobs, retiring, you could actually keep people working and yet cut the number of jobs as people quit or retired. So is that what he's doing?
No. Under Governor Schwarzenegger, Schwarzenegger added 50,000 people to his to the government in 7 years. Governor Brown's budget, which is the way you find out whether or not he's allowing attrition to take care of it.
Hold that thought, Stephen. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Cindy Stephen was saying that when Arnold was governor, he added 50,000 state jobs. Now, he ran as a conservative, he ran as a Republican, and massively expanded the number of state jobs. But, of course, this is one reason why we have skyrocketing state budget. Now that we have Jerry Brown, what's happening?
Well, Jerry Brown's budget has approximately the same number of employees as the last budget of Arnold Schwarzenegger. So if there is attrition, he is replacing people rather than allowing the jobs to go vacant. And that is
sounds like we were better off under Gray Davis.
Actually, we were. Now, there are some agencies that are going to be losing employees, but there are other agencies that are going to gain employees. So when I say that they're going to have approximately the same number of employees for the state of California, that's statewide, not in a particular agency. But statewide, we'll have approximately the same number of employees as we had under Schwarzenegger.
So basically, of course, how can you continue doing this? Now, somebody had said that there were reports that actually we were getting more money in the form of taxes than anticipated. So things are looking up for the state. Is that really true?
Well, it's partially true. Let me give you three facts. First of all, state income tax and other taxes added $2.5 billion approximately more in revenues than were expected. And thanks to the increased price of gasoline, the amount of money the state gets from sales taxes on gasoline goes up, and the state is looking at, in a three-month period, an approximate $1.2 billion more in gas tax, sales tax money than expected. The problem is on the gas tax part, there are people losing their jobs, and the cost of living is going up because the cost of energy is going up. Second, that $2.5 billion increase in revenues is a one-time deal, not to be replaced. And you have to remember the actual budget deficit of the state of California is approximately $40 billion. So another $3 billion or even $4 billion worth of revenues on a one-time deal doesn't really help the state that much. It certainly helps, better than the reverse. But on the other hand, the amount of money that the state gets still doesn't come even close to fixing the budget deficit. And that's the real problem. There are some agencies of government, you know, we've talked about the cost of bond money. One state agency within the last month paid 9% interest on bonds that they sold. So that's getting out of hand.
That is really devastating. And, you know, basically, of course, because that interest has to be repaid. And they said you're paying 9% interest. It doesn't take very long before you're going to have to pay it back two or three times what you actually borrowed in the process of paying it off. And you can't keep living on borrowed money. I mean, this is one of the big problems we have with the people. But government's the same thing. I mean, you've got to be able to pay your bills. If you live on borrowed money, sooner or later comes the time when it has to be paid back.
And today, a major shock came when the Legislative Analyst's Office, which is a nonpartisan office that just gives honest auditing of our finances, announced that the high-speed rail program, even at today's level, did nothing more. Over the next several years, each year we're going to pay approximately $1 billion in interest on the bond and the loans we've taken out. That comes off the budget. So when you say that we got $2.5 billion more in revenues, that's kind of nice, but just the amount of money for the interest on the high-speed rail bonds takes 40% of that.
Well, now, basically, have we borrowed the money for the high-speed rail system? Have they started construction or buying the property? Or where do we stand with this idea of the high-speed rail? It was running between two towns I'd never heard of. You know, was it Borden and Cochran or something?
That's correct. Borden and Cochran. And I drive all over the state. I knew where Cochran was. I had never, ever heard of Borden before, and I've been driving up and down the state for 40 years. And so that caught even me by surprise. But so far they have sold approximately $9.9 billion worth of bonds. The federal government has come in with just over $3 billion of loans and grants. They have all sorts of plans to go. And they're going to build that leg from nowhere to nowhere, a 150-mile leg of this high-speed rail for no one to go nowhere. And so we're going to, and of course, the bond money doesn't cover the operation of it, and that's going to be a major deficit part of future state budgets. And we'll never get out of this death spiral, because programs like the choo-choo train are going to keep us paying more money for interest, and the folks on Wall Street will make a killing while families are forced to leave the state because taxes will be too high just to pay the interest on the bonds that are out there.
Well, how long is it going to take before this high-speed rail is completed? How soon will it go from someplace to someplace? Right now it's going from Borden to Cochran, which nobody's ever heard of. But, of course, at least ought to go to Sacramento. It doesn't even have to go anyplace. It at least went to a major city, but it doesn't even sound like it'll be a many, many years or maybe even decades before it gets either to Sacramento or San Francisco.
Well, the Legislative Analyst's Office in its report said it will never be built. nothing will be built, and anywhere between $12 and $20 billion will have gone down the toilet. They don't see it being built. Plus, they say there's absolutely no money to operate it once it is built. I mean, what good is it to have trains and tracks if you can't pay for people and pay for the operating expenses? And also, they said in 2009 it was going to cost $47 billion. Now it's up to $67 billion, but the full system built out is going to cost over $200 billion, and there's no money for that, period.
Well, it sounds to me like probably somebody's friends are going to make an awful lot of money on this.
Well, there's a whole host of consultants who have been hired. There are union people and union contracts that are being given out. There's a lot of folks making money on this already, but the biggest profit is being made by Wall Street on the selling of the bonds.
Well, but what are the chances that maybe California will default on those bonds?
Probably 100%. There's just no way of paying them back, and there's almost no way in the future to pay the interest. And, of course, you could stop default by just paying the interest. But we can't afford that any longer. This is a train that goes nowhere, costs everything, and will be the final nail to create the insolvency of the state of California. And there are still people who are supporting it, but those are the people who think they're going to make money from it. On the other hand, even the Democrats in the state legislature are working hard to pass a bill that will kill the plan and just take our losses.
Well, I think that is certainly what we ought to do. But basically, I mean, we're talking, what, 20 or 30 years to get this thing built? And what sort of interest rate are we actually paying now? Interest rates certainly on a lot of things are going up. Or do we have, I know probably we got some of the loans at fairly low interest rates, and then I'm sure they're taking that money and depositing the banks, and then the banks are taking that money and lending it out. That's great, because now the banks have solvency. But do we have any idea what interest rates we're paying and what interest rates we'll pay down the line? As certainly there's more and more question about the validity and the solvency of this state.
Well, we don't know I don't know the answer to what we're paying. The LAO said we cannot afford any new bonds because the interest rates will be too high, and they define it over 5 to 6% is what they expect future bond sales to be. And if the cost is going to be $67 billion, and they only have $12 billion now, the cost of $55 billion of bonds just for that almost equals the $87 billion of all of the bonds that we have outstanding right now for everything else in the state.
Well, is there a move within the Democrat Party just to end this foolishness once and for all? Is there any opposition from the Republicans, or are they in on the scam?
No, actually, the Republicans from the very beginning opposed this, except for Schwarzenegger. And now some key Democrats are joining this on the basis that if the high-speed rail is built, the choo-choo train is built, money to pay for public safety, for education, health care, welfare, and all those programs will be cut because the state will have to be paying interest on the bonds. And so they're beginning to oppose it. And it may take another year to year and a half, but this choo-choo train is going to be put back in the closet.
And I think it's so vitally important, ladies and gentlemen. This is one of the issues that you really need to bring up with your elected representatives. And this is a disaster. We're already on the base of, on the verge of fiscal collapse, and now they want to put out a couple hundred billion dollars on a train from no place to no place, Borden to Cochrane. Go right ahead, Stephen.
But one of the more interesting
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
That's here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295, I should say, 464-8295, and would love to hear from you if you have a question. But what is going on in California is sort of a microcosm of what's going on all across the country. And basically what you're seeing is certainly a situation where we have legislators who are spending money they don't have. Certainly the whole economy is beginning to fail. Here in California, they're passing legislation that is driving industries out of California. In fact, the industries are leaving here. They're going to Texas. They're going to other states because of the high taxation, because of the amazing amount of red tape that they are forcing on people, because of the new cap and trade legislation, which of course is going to cut down fossil fuel emissions. And go right ahead, Stephen.
Well, it's not only California, but what's really interesting is that Illinois just dramatically raised its corporate tax, income taxes. And so Wisconsin, the neighboring state, is now having an influx of businesses from Illinois that can no longer afford to be in Illinois. And California firms are moving as quickly as possible to go to Texas. There's a chain of hamburger stores we all know called Carl's Jr.'s, and the CEO of Carl's Jr. mentioned that it takes 2.5 years to build a Carl's Jr. in California. It takes 6 weeks to get the permits to build one in Texas. It cost an extra $250,000 to build a Carl's Jr. in California than it does in Texas. So Carl's Jr., instead of building 300 new facilities in Northern California, where they don't have too many, they instead are going to build the 300 new facilities in the state of Texas. Look at all the jobs, from construction jobs to managerial jobs to vendor jobs for selling potatoes, et cetera, to Carl's Jr., that are being lost by California because of our tax codes and our permit process. Then the CEO said that once we build a facility, we're always having troubles with permits and health inspectors and everybody else and the cost of fees just to keep the places open. So they're going to Texas, which makes sense on a business level. I mean, quite frankly, if I had a CEO that would rather spend $250,000 extra per facility, I'd fire the guy and get a new one who'd build them in Texas. And in fact, Carl's Jr., which is headquartered in Carpinteria, California, which is southern part of San Bernardino County, is looking at moving its headquarters to Austin, Texas as well. So we're losing jobs, we're losing headquarters, we're losing brain power in California because we have a lack of brain power up in Sacramento.
Well, of course, California still has one of the nicest climates in the country, and we still have Silicon Valley. And certainly it looks like, you know, there is some expansion in Silicon Valley. What do you hear about that part of the state? I hear, of course, that a lot of the office space occupancy is growing. Some companies are moving in. Now, maybe they've got lots of money. They're not so concerned about all these crazy regulations. What's happening as far as that part of the state? Do you know?
Well, the Silicon Valley is doing okay again, but the technology industry is moving to Texas, and it's moving to other states that have set up, for instance, Texas around the University of Texas in Austin. There's a major technology campus there that is growing dramatically, like Silicon Valley. And, you know, you just can't spend good weather on a home. You can't spend good weather and the great facilities we have here, or the ocean, the mountains, the desert. You can't spend that to buy a car. And the cost of everyday living in California is significantly higher than it is in Texas or Florida or Arizona or even Nevada. So we do have problems here, and Silicon Valley is doing okay. But they're not growing as much. eBay, for instance, is moving out to a major facility out to the state of Mississippi.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. But of course, it's the overregulation and taxation that is destroying the foundation of this state. This is Dr. Stan, I guess it's Stephen Frank, and I see all these ads on television saying, if you need food, if you are certainly two times the poverty level, your income is twice the poverty level, you're entitled to get one of these cards that'll give you free food. What's that all about?
Well, the interesting thing is, yes, they've moved it from 150% of the poverty level to 200%, and they're actually spending several million dollars on ad campaigns, tax dollars, to try to get people to apply for food stamps. It's just another entitlement program that the federal government has, and now the state government has to promote, and eventually everybody will, almost everybody, except for the very rich, will be on some form of government grant. And at that point, and we're almost there at 51% now, 51%, almost 51% of the American people get Social Security or Medicare or VA pension or food stamps or some government assistance. And at that point, they're not going to want to give it up or cut it back. Why should they? And the producers will become the slaves of the consumers. It's kind of like the book Atlas Shrugged. What happened in that term? Ayn Rand was right. There are two classes of people, the producers and the consumers. And when there are more consumers than producers, society spirals to a disaster, to a crisis. And we're at that point now, not only here in California, but nationwide. And until the people who are producers say, we're going on strike, we're not going to produce until we are allowed to keep what we produce.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Stephen Frank from California Watch, or California Political Watch. And, of course, Stephen turns out a newsletter several times a day. Fascinating information. The price is right. Doesn't cost anything. You certainly will want to get it. He has all sorts of fascinating things, not only for California, but these same insane policies are taking place throughout the entire country. Now, I would simply point out this is not happening by accident. I think there are really people who want to spend us into insolvency. Do you know a better way to destroy a great nation than to actually spend its way into insolvency? And people say, well, that could never happen. And I would say, why not? It's happened in country after country before. And there really are people who hate America. And many of them are working at the highest levels of our government. There was a married couple, Cloward and Piven, who actually wrote an article in Nation magazine back in 1966. Saying, and they were socialists, they wanted to destroy America, they wanted to hate us, and they suggested doing just what they're doing now, just offer all these wonderful free programs and keep expanding the power of government, and until eventually nobody would want to give up anything they were getting for nothing, and the whole system would eventually collapse, and then they could establish their dictatorship. Could it be that this is what's planned? Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Stephen, before we go on, would you go ahead and get your web page out, let people know how to get in touch with you?
Right. All you have to do is go to capoliticalnews.com, capoliticalnews.com, click on that, get it up, and on the top right corner, there is an icon to subscribe. Click on that, fill out the form, and you'll be getting every day a free subscription to the California Political News and Views so that you are able to understand what's going on and why, not only in California but nationwide.
All right. Well, right now we have Marilyn calling us from San Francisco. Marilyn, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I wanted to ask him about this move that Jerry Brown tried to make at the first of his budget proposals to shut down redevelopment agencies. I actually went up to Sacramento and lobbied for that to happen, and I was amazed at the trail of government officials that were there urging it not to happen. But it was only one Republican that that we went with Chris Norby, a Republican from Fullerton, that was on the you know, that voted to do this. And what's going on with that? Why aren't Republicans supporting that? And is this a ruse of some sort?
No, it's not a ruse. And you're right, Assemblyman Norby is the only Republican that supported it. And the problem is that the state, what happens is not ending redevelopment agencies. That was not what Governor Brown's proposal was. Governor Brown's proposal was to end the local redevelopment agencies and bring them all under the aegis of the state of California. That's what he wants, and have the state make a determination of how that money is spent. And he wanted to then take, I think it's $1.7 or $1.3 billion from the reserves of the redevelopment agencies from around the state, and use that to help cover some of the budget deficit. But the reason the Republicans oppose it isn't because they want to keep redevelopment agencies. They want to get rid of the redevelopment agencies, but they don't want the state of California to run one. And so what's happened is almost all the money that was in reserves around the state for the redevelopment agencies that the governor was going to use to cover his deficit has been spent by the local, or allocated by the local redevelopment agencies. So now, even if the governor gets the money, there'll be no money to get. And if you remember earlier in this conversation with Dr. Stan, I mentioned there was a government agency that paid 9% interest on bonds, and that was a redevelopment agency that just had to sell the bonds so that the state couldn't get the money. So it's a total mess. But no, it's not a ruse by the Republicans. They want to end redevelopment agencies. It's the Democrats and Governor Brown that don't. They just want to transfer from local control as a slush fund to state control as a slush fund. Either way, it's a slush fund.
So you don't think eminent domain would be impacted at all if this Brown's proposal were passed?
No, it would just give the state the right to use eminent domain.
And basically, Marilyn, these things are so complicated. I didn't understand what was going on either, and I sympathize with your effort to want to do away with the local control over this. But you thought you were trying to do away with the redevelopment agencies. No, you were just putting that into somebody else's hands. Anything else, Marilyn, you want to ask? Believe me, they're intentionally making this confusing, so we can't figure out what they're doing. It's like the old, suddenly the sleight of hand expert. You're watching one hand that's moving while they're stealing what you have with the other one. Anything else, Marilyn?
I just wanted to tell you real quick, there was a good thing that happened. You know, they have these traveling road shows for Agenda 21, and the Bay Area is called now. It used to be Shaping Our Future. Now it's called Envision Bay Area. And we found out it was heavily funded by Santa Clara County, what do you call these tax-exempt funds, and that eBay, which is Meg Whitman, I guess, was supporting all this. But we had a huge group that came out to the Contra Costa County so-called forum, where they group you around tables. You know, Michael Shaw has described this, and they just totally shut that thing down. So it was very enlightening to see these people did not know how to handle so many people strategically placed to fight their efforts to tell us how we can work, live, and play.
Well, good for you, Marilyn. Congratulations. Thanks so very much. And right now, let's go to Donna, who's calling from New Orleans. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Let me just point out that on the weekend of June 4th and 5th, there's going to be a conspiracy conference in San Francisco, and of course they're going to have some great speakers. They're going to have some people, some of the people who are into these conspiracies are a little weird, but that's all right. I always learn something, and hopefully we reach an awful lot of people. We go every year, and we will have a table. We will not be speaking. But if you're interested in the conspiracy conference, it's going to be held June 4th and June 5th at the Marriott Hotel in Santa Clara. The telephone number to call, 925-449-6844. That's 925-449-6844. Or you can go up on the internet for Conspiracy Conference. Just put in conspiracycon.com. Conspiracycon.com. Hi, Donna. How are you doing?
Okay, Dr. Stan. Hello, Frank and Steve. I would like to know how much money makes one in the poverty level. What amount of money is that?
My understanding, the poverty level is at, for every state has a different level because the cost of living is different. Here in California, it's $22,000 something, because at $44,500, you still qualify for food stamps and a variety of other entitlement programs.
At $44,000?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wow!
Okay, Donna. So if you want to get on the dole like everybody else, and the best thing could happen is it'll bankrupt us. Okay. God bless. Okay, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Basically, of course, the plan is to bankrupt us, and of course, the sooner it happens, the better it'll be. We're going to have to start in all over again. Of course, they will try to declare their dictatorship, and what we need to do is expose the subversive element behind all of this, and of course, the people who got us into this mess have an intense hatred for our way of life. They want to bring the system down because they hate America. We realize this system is going to have to come down, but we hope to then reclaim a free America. The socialists want all power centered in their hands. We want to limit the power of government so men can be free. Two entirely different approaches to what's going on today. Which one will succeed? Ladies and gentlemen, that's up to you. Go ahead, Steve. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, actually, you know, I understand what you said about these folks hating America. I think it's really much deeper than that. I think these people hate themselves. And what they hate about themselves is that they are, in their mind, they see that they are free. There are people around the world who aren't. They have the ability to feed themselves. There are people around the world who aren't. They have the ability to get a good education. There are people around the world who aren't. And so what these people see is they have all these opportunities, and they hate themselves for having it. So instead of trying to expand those opportunities, to expand freedom for others, they prefer to bring everyone down to the lowest common denominator, where no one has quality education, no one has quality food, no one has quality opportunity, and they feel better about themselves in poverty rather than riches. I really think it's a psychological problem these people have, and it's self-loathing.
Well, I certainly wouldn't disagree with you at all. Thank you. Certainly, I think you're absolutely right. Well, certainly, we have a real problem today, ladies and gentlemen, because California, the eighth largest economy in the entire country, is having real problems. All across our state, why many municipalities are having to lay off police officers and firefighters, and teachers, and members of the bureaucracy, because they don't have enough money coming in to pay them. And this is true at the city, at the county level. And right now, of course, Governor Brown should be laying off state employees. He doesn't want to. And then, of course, you've got all the employees going up, and the state teachers and others going to Sacramento, demanding, of course, that they get their money. The difficulty is, make all the demands you want to. If the money isn't there, where's it coming from? Well, they want to raise taxes on people, but the people are already overtaxed. Do you think, of course, is there going to be an election on taxation? Is the legislature simply going to go ahead and raise taxes without the consent of the people?
Well, if they raise taxes without consent of the people, there's an immediate lawsuit because that's illegal under the state constitution. The people voted not to allow that to happen. And this conversation about all these teachers showing up in Sacramento, I was up in Sacramento yesterday. I was in the Capitol. And quite frankly, Dr. Stan, there weren't a great number of protesters. Here locally in Simi Valley, there was a protest at Senator Strickland's office. Four different school districts picketed, the teachers from these districts picketed Tony Strickland's office, and they had a total of 60 people, a total. These days of chaos by the teachers' union is really the last gasp of unions trying to hold control of government and of our students and of our society. I think this week has proven that the teachers' union, when it comes to people actually supporting, even teachers don't support the $70 billion tax increase. And it's funny, there was a small rally in Fullerton this afternoon, and the teachers' union was chanting, corporate taxes, raise corporate taxes, raise corporate taxes. The funny thing is, Jerry Brown isn't raising corporate taxes. He's raising individual income taxes, sales tax, and the vehicle fee. So while these crazies from the teachers' unions are running around thinking that they want corporate taxes to be raised, they don't know, but they are protesting because they don't have their taxes being raised. And if Jerry Brown had his way and these people had their way, their taxes would be raised, their income taxes, their sales taxes, and their vehicle tax would be doubled. So these people are just out. They don't even understand that they're picketing against themselves and they're screaming against themselves. They truly don't understand, and yet these are the people in the classroom teaching our kids, and they don't even understand that what they're calling for is a lower standard of living and a pay cut, because that's what taxes are, a cut in take-home pay. They're calling for a pay cut for themselves. These people need help.
Well, what is going to happen now? Basically, the Republicans have opposed the putting this the increase in taxes on the ballot. Is there any way it's going to get on the ballot? Are they trying to collect signatures? What's happening to get
there? That's interesting that they haven't begun the collection of signatures. They haven't completed the process to get it onto the streets. So they've. Since this is already almost mid-May, it looks like they're going to miss the deadline. They will miss the deadline for November. They won't be able to get on the ballot now till next June, and by that time, it'll be all over and done with. We won't need the taxes. The Republicans in the legislature today, the Assembly Republicans, presented what they called their alternative budget, as massive cuts to the government bureaucracy, with the added revenues, the $2.5 billion in added revenues, earmarked for the government schools, so the schools won't get any cuts, and it's a no tax increase, and it's a no cut in education, government education, and it is a cut in duplicate services, in non-essential services, and just crazy programs put on by the state of California, and that's a very serious proposal that was made late this morning in Sacramento, and so that will be discussed and debated. Of course, the Democrats will vote against it, and when they do, they're saying that their answer to out-of-control spending is not to control the spending, but to tax more, and that's going to be the major issue of the 2012 statewide elections next year, and that's a good thing. And the people of California will have an opportunity to make a choice. Do they want the party of tax and spend and taking $70 billion from families and businesses?
Hold that thought. Go right ahead, Stephen.
Or do they wish to have a political party in charge that believes in family.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Decades.
Where more and more and more people are going to be put out of work. Now, this is, in some ways is a wonderful, but in other ways it's frightening. Because what are these people then going to do for a job? Well, if we had a free society, we could go out and open up a business without government regulations and controls. Why, I think the ingenuity of people would create all sorts of new businesses and prosperity, but as long as government can be there and put up all sorts of barriers along the way, why, of course, we'll see the economy simply slowly grind to a halt and then collapse. Stephen, thank you so much for being with us. Please keep us posted. Thank you for everything you do, and I'll look forward to having you on again in a week or two.
Have a great week, Dr. Stan.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, that was Stephen Frank. And, of course, you can go to his website, capoliticalnews.com. Capoliticalnews.com. I recommend it. Fascinating information. The price is right. It's free. Well, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon those of you who listen to our program to help us. Get the information out you're not going to get elsewhere. If you would like to join the Radio Liberty family, why, it's as simple as calling 1-800-544-8927. And we're primarily dependent upon the people who listen to our programs to help us find the over 60 outlets we have every week. That's radio stations, and we're trying to pick up new radio stations all the time. We're trying to certainly continue our shortwave, continue our internet, and now you can listen to us 24 hours a day on the radio, on iPod, on MP3. A lot of means I don't even understand, and curses the internet, the archive programs, the live programs. They're all available. In case you can learn more by calling to 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And if you're in a position to do that, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're not in a position to join, and I know many people are having financial problems, then we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. So understand what this is really about, what nobody else really wants to tell you. You certainly need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear my talk. It's called The Forbidden Secret. It's available on DVD. My talk on The Dark Secret, it's available on CD-ROM. And the syllabuses go with both of those. So you can actually read for yourself what George Bush said in his inaugural address, as he used all sorts of coded phraseologies for those who were members of the occult secret societies. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. So we have the speeches there. You can read them, and you'll learn about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs a storm. That president used that phrase twice during his first inaugural address. The angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs a storm. Well, there's so much more. Of course, you need, Chris, to get our material on the... Oh, we have a great DVD on the beautiful side of evil, of the presentation by Joanna Michelson that she gave a couple of years ago. It's a DVD. It's a memorable experience. We have our 4-CD set on the supernatural, my interviews with Joanna Michelson, certainly one of our favorite guests. And so the information is there. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we ask you to go to our website, radioliberty.com, where, of course, you can pull down our information, you can watch our DVDs, read our newsletters, where you can listen to our programs on a regular basis, and then please pray for Radio Liberty.
Tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. It is the 12th of May, 2011. You're in the right place today. That is, if you are a thinking person. I mean, serious thinking person. If you challenge the conventional paradigm, aren't you starting to not like that word, the conventional paradigm of where we